welcome to another episode of Soundography. Soundography is a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ebbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we're joined. Somebody must have told you you say it too fast. Did that happen? Is that what happened, Hammond?
No, I'm just being. I'm emphasizing the positive.
Oh, that must mean we're going to be going negative before too long. Well, before we get to any of that, let's introduce our special guest. This is a special episode of Soundography called You Gotta Listen to This. And it's a chance for people to introduce us to a single album. Instead of saying, hey, listen to this artist, we just narrow them down to one single album that they want us to check out. And our special guest for this one is Daniel Camarillo. Daniel, welcome to You Gotta Listen to This.
Hello again, friends.
Hello again. Well, I guess welcome back to Soundography because we've had you on before to recommend an artist. This is the first time you've ever given us a single album to listen to.
Yep.
So let's talk about who you've asked us to listen to. What album you've chosen for us, Daniel?
The artist is Kenga. Kenga only has one album, so that's kind of why we're going with that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so you're kind of doing double duty. Like, this is an album and an artist that would qualify for either a Soundography episode or You Gotta Listen to This. I thought I saw more stuff in her list when I was looking her up on iTunes. Does she just have singles that are songs from this album with some B-sides or something?
There were some. She did some releases for some industrial compilations. I know she's working on an EP, which should be out, you know, whenever she releases it. But so far, there's only the one album.
Very cool. And before we get into Hammond's and my opinions on the album, what made you choose Kenga?
In 2017, I went to Cold Waves LA to see Stabbing Westward for my birthday because they were playing down there. And Kenga was the opening act, and I was very impressed. I'm getting the impression that you two, not so much, but I thought she was great. She put on a really good show. It was very high energy. The music was pretty tight, especially for a brand new artist who, you know, doesn't have that catalog of music to go on. And then I saw her again in May of this year in San Jose. And she, again, great performance. And, yeah, I really like the music. So.
That's cool. When she performs live, is it just her or does she have a backing band?
So in LA, she had one other guitarist that she's worked with before, but I think generally she's solo.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to surprise you and tell you that I actually really, really enjoyed this. This is actually an album that I'm planning on picking up. I'm traveling right now, but as you can probably all tell by my voice, but when I get back home, this is an album that I'm planning on picking up. Tina and I listened to it in the car. I listened to it a second time here in the hotel room. And with the exception of one song, really, really enjoyed the album.
What song?
That I did not like. It was the last one, Machine.
Oh, okay.
It was... Yeah. A little too industrial, a little too power machinery. I felt like I was getting shown a new drill at the Home Depot. Hammond, how about you?
So it's not that I didn't like it. There are things about this that I did like. I just wish it was a tad more varied, especially vocally. And I really wish that she would hire an outside producer to bring in an extra set of ears to help push her out of the comfort zone that she clearly is sitting in. Because I think there's a lot there. It's just that she's not this is her first album, so it makes sense. But I feel like that every single song, she was very much in this pocket. And she kind of lives there, and she's comfortable there. And so that's what she did. So after 10 songs of this, I really wanted to climb out of the pocket.
I was actually just going to make the joke. I actually enjoyed being in that pocket. Like with the exception of Machine, it's a pocket that I feel very comfortable in. If you were to give me a heavy, you know, like a guitar based group, like a Foo Fighters or a Green Day or Weezer or something like that, and give me 10 songs that all sounded as close to each other as this did, I probably would have more of an issue with it. But even saying that, I still found different elements of each of the songs that I liked. I liked the almost radio friendly poppiness of Tension. I liked the intro of Something Dangerous. I liked, let's see, what other notes did I have here? I was surprised how much I enjoyed this because I didn't know, I had no idea what to expect. Oh yeah, Honey, the hook in the chorus is just infectious as hell. So, totally enjoyed it.
So that's the one thing I will say about this is that intros and choruses, she's great mm-hmm. at. Mm-hmm. She's great at intros and choruses.
It's the stuff around that.
And I really wish the songs, you know, each song ran about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. If they ran 2.5 to 3 minutes, I think I would have liked it more.
Wow. Okay. I gotta write this down on my calendar that Hammett is complaining about the length of a song.
No, it's because it didn't vary at all. She turned on the Native Instruments machine, got the stuff programmed in, hit play, and then sang over the top of it.
I like it when we disagree. It's like Siskel and Ebert when they went toe to toe.
And I'm saying I'm not hating this because there are elements of it that I absolutely enjoyed. It's just that am I buying this? No. Am I other than telling my wife I listened to it? I'm probably not going to recommend this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm picking this up when I get home. And I'm curious, Hammond. Tina and I both. Definitely felt like there, like this, like Kanga could open for Garbage. She could open for Nine Inch Nails or Marilyn Manson on tour. What's your take on those three bands?
I think that you're dead right that she could open for any of them. I am afraid that Trent might walk out on stage and say, "Hey, we need to talk about plagiarism a little bit."
She did sample some Nine Inch Nails.
No, did she really? Oh, that's funny. Okay. Yeah. Evan, well done.
yeah, she thought it would be funny.
Viciousness mm-hmm. overall is my favorite track on the album. If I were going to pick a favorite, it'd be track 4.
So we're in agreement there, Hammond, because that is definitely my favorite.
Is that your favorite one on the album too?
Absolutely, yeah.
See,
yeah.
I'm not a jerk.
That was never in question.
A little weird for you to say you want shorter songs. That's all.
I know, yeah. That's something I never ever thought I'd hear Hammond say.
If she passy climbed this up a bit, I'd be happier.
I forgot the question I was going to ask. Because we now know that your favorite track on the album. Are there any tracks on the album that you're not a fan of that you're like, that one I usually skip when it comes on?
Are you asking me?
Oh, I'm asking you, Daniel. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I would agree with you that, like, for me, the first and last track are definitely the weakest of the album, but everything else in the middle I really solidly like. Viciousness being my favorite song.
There's something about the beginning of Something Dangerous that I feel is a great track one, because if she would have that intro, that really long intro in the middle of the album, it would probably be a track skip for me. But as a track one, as like kind of the house lights coming down, the stage lights coming in, the fog machine kicking in, that sort of thing, I kind of like the atmosphere of that one.
It's super. I think I'm right in thinking the comparisons, but I think it's super head like a holy.
Super head like a holy is my Led Zeppelin cover band.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that I can see that. Totally could see that. I don't know. I mean, I'd actually consider if you were coming to town and playing like a smaller club. I'd actually consider seeing her.
She might have been your way recently, actually. She's been touring a lot.
Yeah, probably has, judging by looking at her Facebook page right now. Her Facebook page, by the way, very unfortunate photo that she's chosen for it, because it looks like it's like the silhouette of her on stage, and it looks like she's farting milk.
Interesting.
But, now who's the jerk?
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, it, you know, it's just it's weird light placement, but it and I guess it's Scott's rubbing off on me on his comments.
Ew.
But yeah, I know, right? But yeah, no, I would totally go see her in a small venue to see what that show would be like. Very, very cool. All right, so we talked about Something Dangerous opening track, and I think probably, you know, a good thing to hear right here is the breathing and that kind of slow build up. Mm-hmm. But it's got such a my other note on this song is that it's just got such a very sinister feel to it.
Some work on some horror films, like to do the backing of on that. I did some research.
Actually,
on
really? Okay.
Yeah,
that's cool, and that seems to fit perfectly with what she's doing, and kind of even fitting that Nine Inch Nails trajectory, kind of like what Trent's been doing with stuff like documentaries and Girl with the Rose Tattoo, or the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Rose Tattoo. The didn't he do the some stuff for the Seven soundtrack, or am I thinking of something else?
I think he might have done the Seven soundtrack stuff. Yeah. I think it might actually just been Nine Inch Nails.
Or they might have used their tunes. Yeah, they might have used Nine Inch Nails music as opposed to bring him on for that. Going Red is the next track.
I did enjoy the beat on this one, and again, I think she nails intros. Intros are something she's super good at. Pulls you in, it draws interest, and then once you have the interest, I wish that she would vary up her singing, and which is why I like coming up more in another song. I'll explain why and link to this comment, so we'll just keep going, and my that comment will make sense in a second.
Sure, absolutely. Daniel, anything to add on Going Red?
No, I mean, I tend to listen to the whole album as a whole.
Honey, like I said, really like the hook and the chorus on this one, and overall really like the song. While I feel like Tension is probably the closest thing to a single that you'd hear on the radio, I feel like Honey would be could be released as a follow-up if Tension did well. Next is Viciousness, and this is the one that you guys both picked as your favorites on the album.
And the reason is this one, she actually sings. It's very singy. There's more variance in her vocal on this track than almost anything else on the album. And the only thing I wish she would do at that point would be change up like speed of the melodies and a little bit of variance in the intonations. And I think we'd be onto something. And as far as the first album goes, everybody's first album has some stuff on it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm giving all of that a lot of attention as I make this commentary, but it's not. I wish there was just a bit more for me to hang on to. And this song tells me there's promise for upcoming work.
I totally get from your description that when she releases a second album, you'll absolutely check it out to see if she's evolved as an artist and how, you know, what she's learned from the first album, what she might do differently for a second album.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this case, I think watching the learning experiences and the building is going to be kind of fascinating to watch, because this is such a unique area of music, because technology plays such a huge part in it. As technology changes, she will evolve because she has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Next up on the album, we've got Savior.
I actually said I wish you'd done more to thicken this song up and to make things a little bit more interesting in the chord progression, because again, there's a lot of promise in this piece of music. I just wish that she'd taken advantage and maybe pushed herself to, instead of do what she's normally doing, to maybe even just invert it and try something different.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Cool. Dissonance, which I feel is mislabeled. If I were going to, I probably would have used this title for the last track, but Dissonance, the next track on the album. All right. Next up is Vital Signs.
I actually wanted to throw in here that Kevin, when he mixed his vocals, he mixed his vocals down inside the music. So it was kind of part of the music. Mm-hmm. She tends to mix it so her voice is kind of floating and bobbing on top of the music. So in some ways it works because it's kind of above the mix. You can hear the lyrics and you kind of get, she's, again, it's above the chaos or the whatever.
Right.
I do wish that she'd mixed it a little bit further in because it sometimes it makes the music feel like an afterthought or the lyrics sound like an afterthought.
Like she worked really hard on doing the music part and then just figured out what vocals to kind of throw on top of it. Well,
even if it's just like, this is a great instrumental piece, I have to sing over the top of this because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I just wished it was mixed a little further into the musical mix, because right now it's very much clean on top of the music, and it's fine. Is that your style? And I'm not, again, who am I to say? Mm-hmm. But in my thought, it'd be nicer if it was just pulled in a little bit so it's part of the music and not on top of it.
Sure. Okay. Next track is Tension. And like I said, this is my favorite track from the album. Like if there was a radio-friendly piece of music, this would be the track that I would play to other people first, introduce them to her music, and then I'd let them start from the beginning of the album and their way through.
I want to tell you that Tension reminded me of Depeche Mode's Stripped. You sink me like a
see that, but let me see you strip down to the bone.
There's something about the way she uses instrumentation that ties me. If I were going to beat mix, I bet you I could beat mix the two of them together and have it work out pretty well.
Well, it certainly was the song that I felt most reminded me of Garbage. Like if you were driving from Garbage Town to Nine Inch Nailsburg, this would be where you'd stop first to get gas before you left town.
At Kangaville?
On the Kangaville road trip, Tension would be the first getting gas and corn nuts on the way out of town is what that would be. Next up is Animal. And then finally, the flawed track for me, Machine. And I think it's the almost erratic drum beat that starts the song. Well, plus kind of the mechanical power tools instrumentation later on. But I like a good unpredictable drum beat. But I feel like if you go two measures and you still can't figure out, you still wouldn't be able to kind of replicate it. Then it's almost too erratic. And I know there's a pattern to it, but I if I can't glom onto that pattern immediately, then it loses me.
Was an attempt to add variance. I just feel like that you're right. Having that 4 minutes in my head of basically a Dremel going with someone beating on a toolbox was kind of hard to have for 4 minutes in on earphones. Uh-huh. Now, maybe live with different instrumentation in a different room, it creates this sense of chaos and this feeling that actually adds energy to the song. But in the sterile, directly into my brain, you're very, very right that it was hard to... This is what I mean by about if you made it 2.5 to 3 minutes, it would be almost a perfect piece of music in this genre.
I wonder if I could even go 2.5 to 3 minutes of this. Everything else enjoyed tremendously. This was like if everything else was an 8 or a 9, this was a 1 for me.
Yeah, and going back to that, like the actual live shows, she's very physical in terms of like being on the stage, kind of moving around. Mm-hmm. So that this would be the song like, oh, I need to go dance around the stage, get a drink of water, and then come back like while it's all playing. There definitely is. She's very like, she moves around the stage a lot, kind of does cartwheels and stuff. It's pretty, she's very physical. I mean, I've seen a lot of different bands do, you know, a lot of stage jumping and you know, you see the Mick Jagger strut around the stage, but Kanga's really moving. So
that's cool.
So as I listen to this and I listen to you talk, I'm wondering if after she matures second, third album, that she'd be a good opening and companion piece for a Rammstein tour.
I can see that.
Yeah, maybe. It depends on how dark she goes, how much harder she goes for the second album. I'm amazed that it took me a while to find any video. You know, I don't doubt that there's, you know, a reason she doesn't have any studio track music videos. But even a live video, it took me a while to find one. But now that I'm seeing it, she is very animated on stage.
Yeah, she moves.
Yeah, she does. Which is really cool. And this looks like the kind of venue I'd want to see her in, like something smaller like this that, you know, feels like a 300, 400 person auditorium kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely like the smaller place. Cool. For me, it like worked out well.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool. Well, this is great. Is there anything that, Daniel, you'd like to add?
So, I mean, she's got talent. In terms of like who she works with, so, I mean, Reese Hoover did the mixing, so he's from Frontline Assembly. She was on tour with Gary Newman.
That's a good fit too. Yeah,
I think that she's definitely when the new EP comes out, I think she's got a lot of potential for the future. I mean, I did like this album, but I know that I'm excited to see what kind of comes next. And she doesn't shy away from saying that she's industrial pop, like. Mm-hmm. I don't think any other band I know of that like plays industrial music would say the word that they're pop music without cringing. So
yeah, right. Yeah,
she kind of embraces that. It's like that's what she does, and she does it well.
Even her genre that she calls herself on the Facebook page, she says heavy pop, industrial, but not. So I think that's a pretty clever way of putting it.
On the Bandcamp page, it actually is listed as dark pop.
Dark pop. See, I can see that for sure. Yeah. Did she get her name from the Winnie the Pooh character? I just got to know.
She did, at least from the interview that I saw.
Oh, really? She really did? Oh, that's awesome.
Her actual name is something really formal from what in that interview, and so she didn't want to use her real name, so she went with character from Winnie the Pooh.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. She doesn't, there's no, unless her name is Anna Jacobson Leong, that might just be her manager / agent, but, that's a name that keeps getting, coming up associated with her. But, yeah, very cool. No, I'm really glad you introduced us to this. And like I said, I'm excited to, kind of tip some other friends off to this and play it in the background of, you know, other things and see if people catch it and say, "Ooh, what's this we're listening to? This is really cool."
Nice.
Very cool. Well, Daniel, where can people find you online?
Well, actually, the first time you guys have asked that, I don't really do a lot of. It's okay. Like I'm perfectly okay with that. Just like my wife, I don't really. I'm more of a lurker than actually posting.
Sure.
I mean, I'm acknowledging on Twitter, but I don't really do anything with that. So Yeah.
Cool. No, that's, hey, you know, if people can follow you and just see the kind of things that you click like on or share or whatever, I think that's always really cool, especially if it's music related. If they like this, then they might want to check out other things that that you listen to and get some recommendations from you. Very cool. Well, as far as our social media stuff, Brian goes to that page on our template. You'd think I would have this part memorized. I was going to say,
we've only been doing it for about 3.5 years.
I know. Well, I'm in a completely foreign space.
See, let's let him do it. I
should. Daniel, feel free to jump in at any point.
I don't know if I can do it on a cold.
Hey, you want to reach out? shoot us an email. We're at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Everything else is right there at our homepage, soundography.com. Right there, you're going to find all of our previous episodes, both regular episodes and specials, like You Gotta Listen to This. You'll also find our playlists, our recommendations, links wherever we have them to buy the songs that you hear them here on our show, or links to Spotify so you can stream and listen to the things that we recommend. If you want to support the show, visit patreon.com/soundography like Daniel did, and you can recommend an album or an artist to us. Check out the available levels and see what tickles your fancy as far as support you can give. And of course, leave us a review anywhere you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or Splunger is the new one that I'm going to create now based on the success of all of those other ones.
Splunger.
Splunger, yes. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying we'll see you next time right here on Soundography and Splunger.
The show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.